The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And it's Michaela Clark in this morning for Grey Cues. Welcome back. We're into the second hour. I'm going to kick off with some requests. Happy birthday to Charlie Fullerton, who is 70 today in Buncrana. From all the family, please play Big Sam from Northwest Alaska is a request there. Another listener says, can you please wish a very happy 12th birthday to Ella Clark from Mum, Dad and Na. A big shout out to Gidore United under 12 girls after winning the Charity League Shield at Ballyar yesterday evening. They fought hard to finish a fantastic season as league winners and cup winners. Woohoo is the message on that one. And some of your comments are coming in as well. I live 2 to 3 miles from Kerrykeel National School and there is an SNA in the school and none of the children have a medical condition. This lady deserves better. Why can an SNA not be provided? That was in relation to our conversation with Lorna. Her daughter, Alyssa, has had to leave school because she has type 1 diabetes and she doesn't have access to an SNA. Now, in terms of Kerrykeel National School, you know, there could be a child that does have a medical condition or maybe there's a requirement to have a particular number of SNAs at the school. I'm not sure about that, but this lady deserves better comment. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has a right to education and they should be provided with the support that is needed to allow them engage with the education system. Another listener says, does every child with type 1 diabetes throughout the country need an SNA? My cousin went to school back in the 70s with type 1 diabetes and never had an SNA. I think it depends maybe on, you know, as Lorna was saying, as her daughter Alyssa grows up, she'll be able to monitor the condition more herself. And, you know, maybe there's more awareness now too of different telltale signs and the implications of type 1 diabetes if action isn't taken immediately in relation to that. I read yesterday that people living in England, Poland and Romania are claiming children's allowance from the state to the tune of €104 million. Apparently they fly into Ireland with the child and make their claim and fly home again. They did not say, however, whether these were Irish people living and working in these countries or if others have spotted another loophole in our system. Another listener says, I thought that all new life jackets were installed with a beacon that sends alerts to the Coast Guard of where you're situated in the water. And we were talking about safety for fishermen at the start of the show. I'm not entirely sure in relation to that, but I do think there was talk, or maybe it is in place as well, about the GPS in it, or maybe that's always been the case. To help people locate somebody wearing a life jacket as well. Hi, Michaela. I watched the NFL in Croke Park. I must say there are things we could add to your All-Ireland final day from reviewing how the NFL shows off their national sport. I did see a lot of comments about this in social media as well. The screens in Croke Park, the way the Irish flag was rolled out from the pitch, the singers, the fireworks display, it looked very impressive overall. And I believe we could add a few of these to our All-Ireland final day. What's your view on this? It is obviously an American sport and everything's over the top, but it was nice to see. Do you think that elements could be replicated on All-Ireland final day, or it takes away from the national game as we know it? Get in touch by texting or WhatsApping 0886 60 25000 or give us a call on 0749 125000. You can also email comments at highlandradio.com. Another listener says, please appeal to people to check if they are registered to vote. Today, the 29th of September, is the last day to register for a postal vote and the 7th of October is the deadline to register to vote. Very important that people do use their right to vote. But we were talking about the presidential election. There doesn't seem to be as much of a hype about it. And maybe it's because here in Donegal, we don't have a local running for office this time out, but I suppose maybe we've a while to go yet and things might heat up. There are two bike lanes that you go on the high road. I'm on this road every morning and evening. This will turn Letterkenny into a disaster with traffic. We have two lanes to keep the traffic moving. We can't cope with one lane, this listener says. And there's a suggestion that immigrants will be given €10,000 to leave the country. This is a crazy idea altogether. Yeah, the Justice Minister has announced a new system is coming into place where people seeking international protection will be offered between, I think it was €2,500 and €10,000 to leave the country if they drop their international protection claim. I think that was actually coming into effect today. Greenways are not natural. Three white-tailed eagles have been killed by industrial wind turbines in Donegal in the last year. Turbines in the wrong place. Donegal peat bogs. Why isn't the media covering that? This listener says. We were talking about, there was a story in the Irish Times this morning how Ireland's natural environment has been found to be in a very poor state. And I had mentioned, you know, we have greenways, we have mountains, we have beaches. You know, although greenways are man-made, but, you know, they're in the middle of nature and people using them can be out in nature as well. Another listener says, morning, Greg, the housing estate is in Ireland. What's the issue with an Irish flag? It's nothing to do with religion. If Ireland were in a World Cup, we wish the place would be full of flags. So this is a conversation Greg was having on Friday. Another listener says, I had a problem with my teeth. I phoned my dentist only to be told I'm no longer registered, although I'm born in Ireland. I now have to sit in pain before I'm seen by a dentist. People will be destroying their votes, this listener says, because the government and opposition stop this being a fair election. After seeing what has been going on with the candidates and the councils around the country and Simon Harris dictating and then cries foul about threats, which I'm not sure about and I'm not alone, there are a lot of people that will not be voting in the presidential election. Corruption again in this week's country, says this listener. Donegal County Council is a disgrace, voted in by the people, could not come together and nominate Maria Steen. I will, as will many, be putting her name on the ballot paper. I know that there was some appetite for a process or the nomination, the council to hold a meeting to discuss nominees, but it didn't go ahead because obviously then there was, you know, you needed agreement from all members. Another listener says the political parties are spoiling themselves with keeping the good candidates out of this presidential race. That's why I'm spoiling my vote to send an indirect message to them for their actions. Actions speak louder than words. Now, many people will have been in shops recently and there's no doubt about it that every year it does get earlier and earlier where we see Christmas cards, Christmas decorations, Christmas promotions in place in shops and online. And I was of the belief for a long time that, you know, we need to get Halloween over and then we can get into it. But, you know, there's just no way around it now and there's no way of avoiding it. I'm joined now by Mary T. Sweeney, representative of Aintune Donegal. Mary T., you believe that it's far too early?
Well, what I'm meeting is I'm meeting parents in the shops that are telling me that is putting enormous pressure on them as parents when the children are seeing. Of course, you don't want to interfere with the retailers trying to make their profit, which is the big time of the year for profit. But there has to be a balance where at the moment in this country, we see almost 300 families in arrears from their ESB bills, a cost of living crisis that has escalated over 20% since 2020. You know, we need to start to realise that I think the government and the Chamber of Commerce could maybe work together better to try and have a deadline date or a key date to start the Christmas spending rush of putting out all the Christmas decorations and sweets and that, because it's putting unnecessary pressure and stress on many, many families who are already struggling. And I think more consideration should be given to that.
Do you think that it's more the multinationals that are doing this as opposed to local retailers?
I think it's the rise in the cost of living for everybody, the rise in business costs, the rise in especially the cost for the families that are really struggling. It's just after getting back to school. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, back to school is an expensive time of the year for everybody, for all families. And, you know, the rise in ESB and fuel costs, you know, it's just ridiculous what this government is doing to the families, you know, that are struggling at the lower end. All families are struggling actually at the moment. That's the feedback I'm getting. And this additional pressure, when you go into the supermarkets, you see the loads of tins of sweets and all the Christmas decorations ready. As I say, there's a great idea in that the Christmas club where people can pay in without having to be faced. At least you have a stored, if it's a safe, you have to depend on the safety of the organisation that's running it, of course.
Yeah.
But at least then you have money set aside to allow for Christmas. But I don't think we're doing enough to support the families that are under pressure at the moment. And it's not helping seeing all these supplies out. And as you say, Halloween's not even over.
Mm. And I suppose it's that pressure. Everybody knows Christmas is coming. And I have to admit that I have started my Christmas shop and I'm never that organised. But I see it as a way of, you know, I don't have children, so I don't have, you know, that pressure of, you know, all these decorations and things like that, that, you know, the children love. But it spreads the cost out for me that I'm not rushing in December, the final weeks. But for parents that, you know, as you discussed, the cost of living there, you know, it is the pressure and seeing that Christmas so early in the year, you know, they're living with that pressure right up until the big day.
Exactly. And as I say, particularly I would feel the people that I'm meeting, it's those with the younger children, the younger families at this moment in time. Of course, the adults, it's a different scenario altogether. They can deal with it. But we have to give more consideration. And I think that it would be lovely that if we, even as a county, as a town, could come together and say, no, this is going to be the date that we make agreement on. Big, active launch of Christmas in our community and support the business and the families and relieve them from that stress for those with young children.
We need an embargo on Christmas, is what you're saying.
basically, and we need things like the ESB costs to be reduced and things like that, which would help as well, because it's just ridiculous what we're looking at the moment. We're basically one of the highest in Europe. You know, you have countries like Hungary paying 10 cents per kilowatt, and we're up at something like 32 cents plus VAT, you know, which is crazy money. And yet the ESB is making millions, over 800 million in 23.
And the way it works out too, then, bills always seem to land right in the mouth of Christmas as well as added pressure.
Of course. I was in one of the cafes in town during the week and a gentleman from outside of the town stopped me to say that he got word that he didn't get his word about getting his allowance for the winter fuel this year. Mm-hmm. And he was extremely worried and he seemed a vulnerable adult. And, you know, this is the reality for people. A gentleman I didn't know, but he obviously knew me. And it is really a concerning time for people coming into the winter months. And even for depression and just the dark nights drawing in, it could be a very dark time for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to do more to be aware of that and get more support into the homes and into the families and into the communities.
And whatever about Christmas starting and appearing too early in shops, do you think Christmas has gotten more more expensive? A lot of people seem under a lot of pressure to spend X, Y and Z on people.
Peer group in the schools is horrendous. Mm-hmm. Always has been, and it continues to be. And this is where the schools could reinforce, you know, that, you know, in my day, I'm fortunate, if you want to call it that, that my kids are past that stage of the school pressure. But it used to be the PlayStations and the Xboxes, which are horrendously dear to buy. And then the reality is that every so many years there was a new edition, a new version being brought out.
More expensive, new version, you know,
then the games didn't meet, they didn't coexist with each other. So everything had to be new again. So this is the sort of marketing that our government could do more on in relation to legislation, the way there is the now in relation to charges for different instruments. You can get the USB as a standard charging point. Things like that are good moves that the government can reinforce, or the electrical companies can come together. Even the simple things like making a standard charging device, you know. But for these games to be all, you know, autonomous and their own varieties, it made huge pressures on families and Christmas. And, you know, the fact that then when the new model came out, the games didn't work. Or this is crazy stuff. I think the government should be stepping in there and saying, no, no, wait a minute here. You have the facilities to make them intercompatible, and they should be made compatible.
And what would you see, Mary T, as the, I suppose, optimum date to roll out Christmas campaigns?
Well, I would have thought that we need Halloween over.
Yeah.
You know, that's the very least of it should be, that Halloween should be over And as I say, that there's more encouragement for families, to remind them to set something aside in the credit union, in their bank account, in whatever they can do. Of course, no problem to do that, but to be faced with this tirage of sweets and Christmas, selection boxes, it means that the parents are being put under undue pressure to spend money at a time that the whole message of Christmas has been lost, and it should be a time to keep the message of Christmas there and to keep the excitement and the anticipation. And it makes it very difficult when one child at school said, "Oh, I got two selection boxes this week," and that's maybe costing £10 to a parent that can't afford, So there should be more expectation to keep the Christmas season for Christmas, and there's much more excitement with that then. And the whole
And I suppose that kind of filters through to, as well, people putting up their decorations. I'm very much, mine goes up, the first, second week of December. But people, would put it up as soon as Halloween ends. And that in itself is pressure, particularly if someone has a child, they see another house in the street that has the decorations, and they're not cheap either.
They're not cheap, and there's more cost on the ESB as well if you have a lot of decorations out there. So, as I say, that maybe it depends on just the amount of access to funds that parents have. But I think we need to be that wee bit conscious of the fact that not everybody has the same, access to spending, and that some parents are finding it very tough, especially this year, say, with the increase over 300,000 across the country in arrears of their ESB. And many of them will be people with young families.
Mary T. Sweeney, thank you so much for joining me there. I suppose it's a conversation that a lot of people do have this time of year. And I was in a shop last week and they were putting out the Christmas cards. And I know it's not in the same vein as somebody buying Christmas presents, but I had seen, I always struggled to get like a goddaughter or godmother card, and I seen them putting them out, and I thought to myself, I better get them right now because they're going to be sold out whenever I need them. And I know it's very, that's a very minimal cost compared to what Mary T was talking about there in terms of presence, but it's the same kind of pressure that we feel we need to purchase there and then. If anybody has a view on that, get in touch. You can give us a call on 086 60 25000. Call us here on 074 91 25000 or email comments at highlandradio.com.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I'm joined now in studio by Sian McSivna, who is a principal of Coliste Alley in Letterkenny. Good morning to you.
Morning, Michaela. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. So we're talking today in relation to the number of post-primary students seeking exemption. So 60,946 had received exemptions from studying Irish for the 2024-25 school year. That's quite a high number. That's quite a high volume. Is it something that you would have been expecting?
It's hard to say, really. I mean, there's a few things that skew the figures there, really, in terms of exemptions to Irish language. I mean, I'm currently in an Irish medium school in College Shaddy, so it's not a thing for us students decide to come to the school and they complete their education through the medium of Irish. But I mean, it's obviously English medium schools, students seek often them. Seek them. There's lots of reasons for it. And I mean, a lot of them can be very complicated. And in terms of that documentary that was made, it presented both sides of the
the situation. The PG Cahar documentary
and then the article in the journal.ie. I mean, from our point of view, I think I would surmise by saying it's disappointing. But it's important to draw attention to the figure and to see what we're going to do to change it. So focus on the positives rather than who's responsible for this situation.
Yeah.
I mean, the big skewed factor really was obviously the situation was just a lot of students coming into schools from Ukraine, and that skewed things a lot. But really, rather than us
focusing, think that would be the majority of people seeking exemptions?
And not a lot. I mean, I don't know the percentage breakdown between the students coming from other countries or students that have learning needs that that they feel that they're unable to complete the substitute minimum of Irish. But yeah. for every student that you hear about has actually sought an exemption, there's a student in the same category that has decided that they want to complete the subject, yeah. you know, so be it the situation is often referred to as students with dyslexia, but for every student that decides to get an exemption because of dyslexia, we have lots of students who decide to continue with
it. And that's actually very positive, because I kind of felt that there was a cultural shift towards people learning Irish. And then whenever the figures came out, I kind of thought maybe I was wrong. But that's good to know. You know, there's still, you know, the interest in it.
Oh, there's huge interest. Mm. I think a big turning point for me personally was in 2016, you know, when we celebrated the foundation of the state. And there was a really good feeling with the Irish language and our culture. And I think rather than just focusing on the negatives, it's that the number, which is a little bit skewed because of the current geopolitical context of things. It's hard to really get an accurate handle on that. But really just asking the questions of not focusing on the rules, even though they're important as to why students get exemptions, but really to focus on why students don't want to complete the Irish language as a subject, you know. And I mean, from our point of view in College Shiley, we want more students to do their education on the whole through the minimum of Irish and encourage the advantages of that, because Irish doesn't become a thing. I mean, when I reflect on this, we're dealing with this every day. We're trying to encourage students to come to our school and complete their education in the medium of Irish. The big thing is we have a strange relationship as a country with the Irish language and with our culture. I mean, it's a bit like the leaving certificate. Mm-hmm. When people start to think about their leaving certificate, the beads of sweat come down their head, and people still have nightmares about their leaving cert, maybe missing an exam. And it's a wee bit like that with Irish. I meet a lot of friends, I meet people out in the public. When I'm speaking with them, they nearly have a look of shock on their face. They're almost afraid, oh, is he going to start speaking Irish to me? Am I going to be examined on this now? You know, whereas, you know, Baha Changa Ia Lorch, the life of a language is in speaking it. And I think we need to flip things a wee bit on its head and just encourage more people to speak the Irish language and be kind of come at it from a positive angle with this, and ask that question why people don't want to complete it. I mean, it was highlighted in that programme, the whole area of exemptions and parents seeking exemptions for kids.
I kind of see it as there's a generation there of maybe parents that aren't familiar with the Irish language. Do you think that's filtered down then? They feel that they wouldn't maybe be able to help with homeworks or things like that, support their children?
Yeah, Michaela, that's something that's always raised, and parents would have that question coming to us. So let's say specifically Irish medium education, the likes of College Shiley, there where parents come in. Like, what's important to understand is the spoken language at home can still be Irish. We would have non-national
students
who would have come to our school. And English might not even be their spoken language at home, but once they can communicate, they can speak to what difficulties they have, and then the student can explain what difficulty they have, and then they can discuss that. So it doesn't become a thing. Like communication really doesn't really matter what language it's in. And I suppose the problem I have sometimes with our Irish languages can be too much focus on the written aspects of the subject. And it's important to say at that point that the level of work that's been done in the standard of education in County Donegal is through the roof. We've tons and tons of teachers doing fantastic work with Irish language, but sometimes they're hampered with the system as is and how the subject that they have to teach. So that needs to be tweaked in terms of what the pressures that are under teachers to
and
deliver.
They have to meet certain grades.
Yes.
Because I went through the education system in the north, and I did my GCSE in Irish, but I couldn't hold a conversation now in Irish. But it was very much, you know, you were learning for the exam, you were learning the grammar of the language, as opposed to, you know, that being able to carry me through life. Like, there was nothing wrong with the way it was taught. You know, I got my grades and stuff, but I regret now that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't talk to you in Irish.
Well, you think that, Michaela, that's the thing. I mean, what I think there's a collective responsibility on us all as a country. I mean, there's an expression we use in education a lot, and we say culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Okay.
And there's an awful lot of strategy out there in terms of what we're doing with the Irish language. But I think there's something that's ingrained in us in terms of the culture and the relationship with the Irish language. If you think back over the last 100 years, like even in 1925, the percentage native speakers has decreased and decreased continually.
Yeah.
Whereas we need to try to address that as a people and become more comfortable with speaking Irish language, warts and all. So like yourself, Michaela, you know, if you actually make the effort to, you know, and push yourself that little bit to speak the subject. And people, like, if you speak Irish to anybody, if you start speaking Irish to me now, I'd be more than happy to speak Irish to you. And I mean, I make plenty of mistakes myself. I mean, I'm not an Irish teacher.
It'll be a very short interview then.
Not at all, Michaela. I'm confident you would give it a good rattle.
No.
But so it's about us maybe changing our approach and our gra for the language and instilling that gra in people. I mean, there's been so many changes through the years, or even over the last 30 or 40 years in terms of the Irish language and the Irish education system. And sometimes we have our own experiences in the Irish language, in particular with education, but with the Irish language in particular, that we project onto others. And it, rather than, you know, one of the things we focus on in our, whenever we have new sets of parents coming into us, bringing their students into our school, is we have an information session with new parents, and we try to put across to them the change is how different education is now to when they were in school themselves. Because sometimes there's that nervousness and that trepidation on behalf of parents, and in terms of education, full stop. And in the Irish language is another level of that, you know. So, I mean, it's very manageable as a subject, but it needs to be changed. I feel as well.
And what kind of changes would you think would need to be implemented?
Yeah, when you, like, say for example, you mentioned the GCSE Irish. I mean, it's an option there. You had the Irish in the north, and then you had Gaeilge, which was a deeper version of that. I mean, that's something that needs to be investigated. I think the focus, while there's a lot of changes, I mean, the level of change that's happening, if I just kind of go on a segue slightly at the minute, the level of change that's happened in the Irish education system is off the charts. There were a number of years there where our sole focus for change, more or less, was on the new junior cycle. Okay. And that was the only game in town, and then we focused on that. But the difficulty we have at the minute now is, just to even give you a rundown, we've got a new leaving certificate, we've got the new leaving certificate, we've education plans that we're working on, the senior cycle review, the admissions process, there's new book scheme, we've the issues with the mobile phones that are mentioned, the special education needs, and we've got the Irish education policy, and you've Kinnell to anti-bullying. So all these things are being foisted upon schools, and it makes it very difficult to reflect on even one of the changes and try and make those changes in a very real and meaningful way. So, I mean, we don't have time as a school, unfortunately, to reflect on where we're at and even one of those changes. Like, I would love to have more time as a leader in education, a leader in our school, to spend a little bit more time focusing on the Irish and how we can actually instill that gra in the kids. And principals all over the county don't have time to focus on that, unfortunately. Yeah. So it's just about changing the culture a little bit and changing the way the subject, or the curriculum, really. It's not the way the subject is taught. The teachers are hampered a lot. They're doing fantastic work, but they're hampered by the pressures of all those other changes and then trying to instill this gra in the language. Now,
and I suppose it's like what I was talking about there, you know, learning for it. We were obviously taught based on the curriculum, but, you know, as you were indicating there, it's about having that language then for the rest of your life. And I suppose your school is a bit different as opposed to just teaching a standalone Irish, for me, GCSE, that, you know, the language is talked every day throughout the day.
It's very much a living, breathing language in the school, and it's not a thing, for want of a way of better articulating it better, it's not a thing that, you know, they go in and then they switch on, they turn on the switch and they start speaking Irish. It's just this is living and breathing around the school. Everything we do is through the medium of Irish. We speak with our kids and interactions in the morning and in the evening time.
Yeah.
You know, how's your weekend? Everything, you know, all those things happen. And I mean, for me, as a principal in Irish medium school in Collegialley, this is the way to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not feasible. That's a jump too far for us, you know.
It's not the reality.
It's not the reality. But it's actually step by step changing the culture. I mean, we could spend the morning, Miss Michaela, and I would love to spend the morning with you on it. But I mean, it's very complicated. But I think it's a cultural attitude that we have to the Irish language that needs to change. And asking the question is not necessarily looking at the bottom line figure of the amount that are getting exemptions, is why do they want exemptions? And there's some very real and very, you know, very tough situations there for people who are trying to learn the Irish language. And, you know, they really struggle with that. But what is the motivation to want to, in addition to those those people have fallen into that category who have difficulties and, you know, it's a bridge too far for them. They struggle with the English language.
Yeah.
But it's outside of that there. Why do people want to? We should have people
the proper resources need to be, you know, so that everybody can learn.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, Michaela. I mean, the reality is on a European level, we're we punch way above our weight in terms of the level of funding, that the national funding that's spent on education, full stop. But we punch way above our weight in terms of the PISA, which are the assessments for education. So we punch way above our head, above our weight with that there in mind. So more money needs to be focused on education. And then if you compare to other countries, like the Wales is always a really good example of what they're doing with the Irish language, or what they're doing with their own language. Yeah. I mean, they have a very ambitious plan. Like, they currently have 23% native speakers, and we're languishing down at 6%. So that's
a huge difference, 23%.
And they have a plan before 2040 to get that up to 40%. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff happening in Ireland with the Irish language. I think there's
And there's so much awareness now, and do you know, there's so many of the younger generations, you know, speaking Irish, and I think it's amazing that you nearly feel embarrassed yourself that you can't engage with them.
I don't know if that's
a good thing.
And that's the thing, and I think, you know, it's about Moll and Oig encouraging the youth, and then us as maybe as adults encouraging them as much as possible, and to make the mistakes and speak the language and be really proud of them.
Yeah.
You're proud of speaking the language, warts and all, like yourself, Michaela, you know, just focusing on trying to get back into it. I mean, my own personal journey was I did my education through the medium of Irish and Gull Nash into Devlin Rea, and then I proceeded to English medium education and post-primary. And it took a lot of years for me to get back around Irish medium education. But the thing about it was is, I, like an awful lot of Irish people, have this relationship with Irish where I thought, oh, I'd love to get back into Irish, love to get back into Irish. But the problem is that, you know, you never put enough pressure. Life is busy and you never put that pressure on yourself to get it. And then I had the opportunity.
It's a commitment to go to classes or whatever.
But really what needs to happen is if you were like Joe McHugh, whenever he got his job, he said, you know, if you open your eyes to the Irish language and you look around. So instead, when you look at all the signage, instead of reading the English, just automatically read the Irish version of the sign above.
But it's funny because if we're travelling through Donegal, I would say to my husband, oh, that's whatever. Like, I can tell the place names, things like that. Yeah. But I've talked about it here before. My granny was from Lunya in Derrybeg, so she was a native Irish speaker. And then I went to the Neeskull in our town. But, like, I went to the English-speaking primary school then and kind of lost it.
Yeah.
And then only picked it up again at GCSE, but it's something that I would love to have, I suppose, maybe because my granny was a native Irish speaker, you know, and I grew up with her speaking to her family and it was lovely. You know, I wouldn't be able to figure out what they were saying, but it is lovely hearing people speak it.
Yeah, and I mean, the richness in our Log Annamnaha, our place names, is unbelievable when people look into it. And there's a lovely website, loganyam.ie, and you go into that and you find the meaning of the place names and describes that what it actually means.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the place names in English don't mean anything, you know, whereas whenever you actually get delved down into the meaning of Irish. So even if everybody who's listened to your show today read and found out about their own place name and actually looked at the signage for their own area and started even, you know, even starting dropping those wee things in, we would change that culture in the background, and hopefully there'd be less wee beads of sweat running down people's heads.
It wouldn't be as daunting then for people to take up the Irish language at school.
Exactly.
Which is the aim.
I mean, there's very real and people who are in very challenging situations, and to learn the Irish language is a step too far, you know, at that point in time. But we probably need to support those people in coming back the Irish language. If you compare it to other European countries, as I said, we've a strange cultural relationship with it. But if you go to Spain, if you go to France, it's not a thing. They speak their language. And if I guarantee you, if you went to Spain or France and you were just parachuted in there to that country for 6 months, you would have a good old grasp of the language after three or 6 months. Whereas, you know, we sort of struggle with it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's about creating and instilling that pride in people.
Do you think, Sean, that there is enough for people that have additional learning needs? Is there enough for them for learning the Irish language?
Yeah. the learning needs are so complex. Mm. And I mean, coming on the show, I was very mindful of, you know, making sure I'm not coming across as an expert in terms of education psychology or an occupational therapist. So it's hard to speak to that because the situations are so complex, and there are an awful lot of students with that are really struggle with education through their native language, yeah, which is through English, you know, for a lot of people. But I mean, we always need more resources, mm-hmm, and again, overall, the spending is too low. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, a kind of a default position. But I mean, as Irish, we tend to always look for more from that point of view. But it's a very real concern. And I think we need to compare ourselves more to European context, and the percentage like that we are spending on education is way, way below. But the work that's been done in the schools is off the charts. Mm-hmm. We punch way, way above our weight, as I said, more in the primary schools and the post-primary schools. I mean, again, from my point of view, we have huge, there's a misconception out there in the likes of College Charlie, oh, that's very academic school. The students, you know, and our results, okay, this year were off the charts,
yeah,
you know, good. But our students, it comes across that, oh, it's a very academic school. That's a misconception. We have lots of students with additional needs, but we put lots of support structures in them and help, mm-hmm, them through that.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have, we have a Cuntar Chang, so a support person in the Irish language,
right, okay,
for a few hours a week. And then just recently we got allocated additional hours to support the Irish language. So that's, you know, right, an extra person going into the classrooms and supporting the kids. So, I mean, we would always have a number of students that would have come from English medium primary schools and join us. And
yeah,
the first little while is challenging, but after a while, you know, you'd be so proud of them then,
yeah,
when at the end of first year and they're chatting away and they're conversing, because there's huge advantages in the full immersion model and, you know, of education.
Mm.
Massive advantages. And I suppose if I can give a wee plug there, Michaela, because I know you're probably looking to finish up.
We have our
open evening on the open day and open evening on the 8th of October. And then we're also visiting primary schools tomorrow and on Thursday.
Okay.
And our deputy principal, Aoife de Nash, have a meeting in Scullneave Region Downings with parents at 3 o'clock, and then we're meeting the primary meeting in Scullnash and Devlin Rea at 4:15, and then we're going over to Scullin Cashel and Fannet at 7. So I mean, one of our aims is to try and encourage as many students to come and do their education through the medium of Irish, and that includes some students if they want to come from English medium post-primary,
yeah, and I think that's an important message that you give out earlier, that it doesn't need to be daunting, you know, that you will pick it up. But that is very important for people, I think, to realise.
The most important thing is, I mean, our facilities are second to none, Michaela, and people come in and think, oh, this building is amazing. I mean, but for me, the strength is the people and, mm, the community and the school, and the work that our teachers and the staff do in the school is unbelievable. So, I mean, it's important that people don't just look at the lovely pitch and the lovely facilities and then decide, oh, I want to go to that school. It's about being positively positioned to the Irish language. And even if parents have been away from Irish for a long time,
mm-hmm,
you know, come back to it and don't be too worried about how they're going to get on. Once you're supportive and you're positive with the Irish language, you know, you're more,
yeah,
than welcome, you know. And I mean, for me, it's a win every time we've another student who has completed their education through the medium of Irish. And it's not about having 2,000 students, it's about having the more people that we can have that complete their education through the medium of Irish, the better. And I mean, in terms of going back to the original question, in terms of the exemptions, I mean, the number is disappointing, but I think,
yeah,
we need to look harder at ourselves and, you know, the cultural side of it is how we feel in our relationship with the Irish language.
Yeah, I mean, delve further into that. Yeah.
The rules, I mean, the rule changed in 2019 and the principal signs off on the exemptions,
mm-hmm,
but not without a discussion and meetings and feedback. And
that's
and
what
reports.
I was going to ask. Yeah. Do you think principals have a role to play in offering different, you know, initiatives that could help?
Yeah. I mean, to a point, but I feel like we got thrown under the bus a wee bit from that point of view in terms of being passed up, mm-hmm, past a hospital pass, as they would say,
yeah,
you know, in football. You know, the 2019, we had the overall decision to make on that. Now, an awful lot of principals, we still look for the evidence, or we, mm-hmm, have to look for evidence, put a package together and review that. But I mean, it's the time that's needed to do that.
Yeah.
And the unavailability of time mm-hmm. is the problem. Yeah. With all the education changes that I mentioned there, we're at an unprecedented stage of educational change. And the problem there is that when so much is coming in, so much change is happening, things go in under the radar, and there's a lot that's happening in the Irish language that we need to be a little bit more careful on. And that rule in 2019 was one mm-hmm. of them. And now we're seeing the figures showing that. So again, they're disappointing, but we need to look harder at the cultural yeah. side of it. Like this, as I said earlier, Baha Changa I a Lorch. So, you know, the life of a language is in speaking it. But the problem is that some of the changes that are happening in our education system, there are, particularly in our junior cycle, they're mm-hmm. removing the need and the focus on the Irish language. So there's classroom-based assessments mm-hmm. at junior cycle.
Yeah.
And that would be the... that would be the focus for, that would be a spoken language there in that particular aspect.
Yeah.
But again, it's not meaty enough in terms of reward for the spoken
yeah.
language. And then as a result, the teachers don't have enough time
so
to focus on.
It's moving in the
on.
Right direction, but kind of needs to be.
Needs to be more, yeah. more meaty. I mean, we had a big one as a group of post-primary, post-primary principals through the medium of Irish. So there are 16 schools in Donegal ETB, and we're one of six mm-hmm. that provide education to the medium of Irish. So, as a group of principals, we were very concerned about the new leaving certificate and the bonus marks that are available to the medium of Irish. And luckily, what happened was because with the new junior cert, new leaving certificate, as you're aware, the pressure is on the final day exams, the yeah. terminal exams. So that's changed, and now there'll be 40% coursework.
Yeah.
The subjects are coming in over the next 4 years, and we were concerned that the bonus marks would not be available
okay.
to the new subjects, is 40%.
Yeah.
But thankfully, just to make sure that's clear to people, the bonus marks are available for the coursework as well.
Yeah,
now, it's still under debate. It's the level in which it happens, because the different... the problem is the way the... it's a way the department and the state exams value the spoken word mm-hmm. is part of the difficulty, because okay. the danger at the minute is that they are saying the subjects that have less written work will not get the full 10%. So they might get 5% or 7.5%. But what we're saying is that if we're doing our education, which we are in College Shally, every subject through the medium of Irish, it's not like when your woodwork teacher or your graphics teacher is working on the project that they sort of stop speaking Irish.
Yeah,
you know, as you can
yeah,
appreciate, all our business is conducted through the medium of Irish. So it's important that the weight is included. And part of the issue there as well comes back to culture and our attitudes towards the Irish language.
Yeah,
it should be
yeah.
automatic. The Irish Language Act came in 2003, and it was improved upon and strengthened in 2021. But again, you know, we still have to, dare I say it, fight a little bit more for the rights mm-hmm. of the language, unfortunately.
And that attitude needs to change.
That
as
attitude,
well, yeah.
yeah. It needs to be automatic.
Sean McSivna, principal of College Shally, thank you so much for calling in today. It was a great conversation.